Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We welcome Connor Hughes, who covers the Jets for The Athletic in New York City. And Connor, we know, thank you so much for joining us. We know that Josh McCown would like to earn this starting job. We know that Sam Darnold is the hot shot who's trying to make his way in the NFL. Plus, the Jets signed Teddy Bridgewater. So after a couple of rounds of OTAs and practices, what did we learn about the Jets quarterback competition?
What we've kind of seen so far is that the Jets quarterback situation might actually be a little bit better than what some thought. I mean, you know, if you don't have the solidified franchise guy, you know, like the Rams have with Jared Goff, like the Eagles have with Carson Wentz, or the Patriots with Tom Brady, or the Colts with Andrew Luck, assuming he's healthy, the Jets are one of those teams that's in the next best situation because they've got the veteran in Josh McCown, who you know exactly what you're going to get with him. They've got Teddy Bridgewater, who's, you know, the lottery ticket type player where if he rekindles the form of 2015, we've got a pretty impressive player. And if not, you're not paying him all that much, so it's not like he's hurting your team. And then you've got the number three pick in the draft in Sam Darnold, who you've pretty much said this is the future of our team. This is the future of our franchise and the guy that's going to be the next great quarterback in the NFL. So the Jets have all of those boxes checked, and they can pretty much wait this one out until they can tell who's going to be the starter, who's going to be this, who's going to be that. And, you know, when training camp begins in a couple weeks, they're going to have Josh McCown under center. He's going to be the guy that's getting most of the first-team reps to begin this thing. But then it's a wide-open quarterback competition. If Sam Darnold is the best of these guys, or if he's close, he's going to be given the nod. If Teddy Bridgewater beats out everyone and looks like the Pro Bowl quarterback that he was in 2015, he'll get the nod. And if not, if Josh McCown's the best guy, they're going to give it to him. So, you know, I think what we saw in minicamp, what we saw in OTA is that, believe it or not, for the first time in a while, there's reason for optimism when you say Jets and quarterback in the same sentence.
What did you see about Darnold that you liked?
He's just got the it factor, I think, which is, again, I know he hasn't played a game yet. You've got to see everything come together, but there are just little things that he does throughout a practice, throughout a day, that you just like. And you can kind of start to see why the Jets fell in love with him. You know, whether it's his off-field composure is very Eli Manning-esque in that he is, and I think it'll probably drive Jet fans crazy because there are going to be games where he throws four or five interceptions and you're going to pan to him on the sideline and he's going to have a stone face. And then there are going to be games where there's four or five touchdowns and you're going to pan to the sideline and he's going to have a stone face. But playing in New York, as Eli's shown for the last, 13, 14 years, that's the best thing you can have, you know, is when you have a guy that just stays even keel and he never gets too high and he never gets low and he just flatlines almost and he's unbreakable. And he's like that off the field. And then on the field, you can see that athletic ability. You know, I don't think he's ever going to be someone that is perfect in the pocket. I think his best plays are going to come when things break down, but he has the ability to make every throw. I mean, there was one throw during minicamp last week where the receiver kind of ran a deep end, like a 15-yard in towards the middle of the field. On most reads, quarterbacks are going to make that throw right when the receiver gets to the middle of the field. You know, when it's basically a throw that's straight ahead, as the guy's beating the corner, whatever, there's a hole in between the linebacker and safety. That's where he's making the throw. Darnold, for whatever reason, on this particular progression, went to different guys. You know, he went to his first read, which is somewhere else, second read somewhere else. And when he came back to that third read, the receiver, who was Andre Roberts at the time, or I'm sorry, it was Trey McBride at the time, was pretty much 75% of the way across the field. You know, that's almost an impossible throw. You're talking about him literally throwing across his body all the way across the field. Darnold saw McBride and delivered a strike on the line, just a laser to get into him right before he hit the sideline and got out of bounds. I mean, the athletic talent is there. And the one other play that really stood out for minicamp was an interception he threw really early on, like the first practice, something like that. Just a terrible throw and a triple coverage from all that was picked it off. Most rookies or young quarterbacks, after they make that play, they're kind of going into their shell. They're nervous. They're, oh, I just messed up. And they kind of cross it all off, right? You know, they get in their own heads. Darnold, the very next play, ran a play action fake and bombed it 60 yards down the field to an open receiver. You know, like, it's, again, he's got to play a game. There's so much before you get to where he is now, to where he's the starting quarterback of the Jets. But there are little things like that that you see each and every practice that, you know, I've covered this team since 2014. You just haven't seen the other guys they've had here do those things.
What do we know about Teddy Bridgewater's health now?
He's healthy. I think that's the big thing, and was certainly a pretty big question mark heading into this whole thing, was that, you know, is Teddy Bridgewater even capable of playing? And throughout OTA's minicamp, he was a full participant. I mean, he did individual drills. He did team drills. He wasn't limited in any way, shape, or form. He made plays in the pocket, outside the pocket, and he looked good. So I think the big thing with Teddy right now with the Jets is that he's healthy, is that he is a guy that again, is someone else you're throwing into the mix. And I'm not sure exactly where he fits yet because, you know, I can't imagine that keep Teddy Bridgewater as your backup quarterback to Josh McCown, because I can't really see Sam Darnold being the third quarterback. And, I can't really see the Jets keeping all three of these guys at once unless Teddy Bridgewater is the starter. You just want Josh McCown to be the veteran, you know, the veteran leader. So it's kind of almost a situation that's building where maybe, you know, Darnold continues to progress as expected and gets to the point where the Jets believe he can start. Teddy Bridgewater continues to play well as he did throughout minicamp and OTAs. And suddenly the Jets have a guy that they can potentially deal for a second-round pick or a third-round pick or something like that. Because to this point, Teddy Bridgewater has shown, and again, it's early and he's still got to take a hit. He's still got to play a game. But he's shown he can still play quarterback in the NFL. And he's shown that he's healthy. He's shown that he is undoubtedly deserving of a starting spot in the league. The only thing is, when you've got a team that just invested the third overall pick in the draft on a quarterback who is going to play at some point, where does he fit into this team? Which, again, you know, if he's a trade bit, if he's a trade piece, then the Jets might be able to get something pretty decent back for him.
Connor Hughes covers the Jets for The Athletic in New York City, as well as does some NFL analysis for SNY-TV in the state of New York. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. You never really know. You talk about the stone face, which means we're going to get a lot of Sam Darnold memes. I'm looking forward to those. But you never really know what Todd Bowles is thinking. I mean, you'll get a facial expression now and then, but he remains pretty gruff. And I kind of like how he handles it. Seems perfect for New York. Is he completely impervious to the fact that this could actually be yet another year where the conversation is, does he keep his job after this season or does he not?
I think he's aware of it. It's going into year four now. He's about as knowledgeable of the New York media as anyone else. He knows what's coming. He knows what to expect. He knows our tricks and we know his. And I think that he understands that this year is going to be about, is Todd Bowles going to keep his job? Is he going to survive a potential 6 or 7 win season? Is he going to survive if this team maybe only wins 5 games because injuries step in? You know, he's going to face all those questions, and there is a lot of pressure on his shoulders, you know, because Mike Maccagnan, the Jets GM, essentially bought himself 2 or 3 extra years here when he drafted Sam Darnold. You know, when you're a general manager and you pick a quarterback that high, ownership is usually going to let this one play out to see how the young quarterback develops before they pull the plug on you. Todd Bowles is very much in the realm of uncertainty, because the Jets can conceivably let him go and bring in an offensive-minded quarterback guru to lead this team in 2019. And quite frankly, there's a decent amount of people here in New York that wouldn't bat an eye. You know, that would probably prefer that. So I think that Todd is understanding that his job is on the line. I think he's understanding that it's going to be talked about throughout this year. As soon as the Jets drop 3 in a row or lose 3 of 4 or something along those lines. But I think what he realizes is that, and it's something that he said to us over and over again, is that, you know, at the end of the day, as long as he does his job and he does his job well, he's going to keep his job. So that's his mindset throughout this whole thing. It was his mindset last year, and he'll keep it again in 2018.
Well, you mentioned offensive mind, and it seemed like we had a wave of offensive coordinators taking over as head coaches in the last couple of years. Not, of course, that's what's going to happen with Jeremy Bates, but what does he bring to the table as the new OC?
Intensity. I think that's the big thing, is that this guy is intense in everything that he does, and he's no media darling. I mean, if we talk about Todd Bowles, you know, not necessarily being a super media friendly. I mean, Jeremy Bates is even, you know, if Jeremy Bates never had to talk to us throughout the, you know, his entire run here with the Jets, I'm sure he'd be happy. He's just not that type of guy. But going back and talking to former quarterbacks that played in his systems, you know, I talked to Matt Hasselbeck, Charlie Whitehurst the last time. Jeremy was an offensive coordinator. They were his quarterbacks. And the one thing that both those guys stressed to me is that he's a little odd. He's a little quirky. But this guy lives and breathes football. I mean, that is his life. Mm. And he is a coach that is just going to be intense in everything he does. I mean, screaming, yelling, cursing. He's just your total, you know, guy. You know, that's really what he
is. Your guy's guy.
Yeah, exactly. He is your guy's guy. And his players love him for it. You know, it didn't work out in Seattle. And he kind of bounced around the league after that. But now that he's got another shot, he believes he's learned. He took a couple years off and he's back. But from everything that I've heard from players is that while he's back and maybe he's a little different in terms of he understands things better, that intensity is still there. And you know, we'll see how it works out, because the Jets certainly believed he was one of the reasons why the offense experienced some success last year.
How much deeper is the roster going into this season?
It depends on the spot. You know, I mean, I think receiver is significantly deeper. I think cornerback is significantly deeper. I think the offensive line's better, but there are other positions that the Jets still need. You know, there are other holes that they were not able to plug in the draft because they traded away their 2 second-round picks.
Right.
And in free agency, when certain guys just weren't there, when you talk about, you know, DeMarcus Lawrence and Ezekiel Ansah getting franchise tagged by the Cowboys and Lions, respectively. So, you know, I think that they're a better team overall when you take everything into consideration, with guys that are, you know, considering going to you know, progress, like Jamal Adams and Marcus May and some certain guys they brought in, you know, at corner with Tremaine Johnson. But there are question marks elsewhere. You know, they still don't have a pass rusher, and they haven't had an elite pass rusher in a while. They never replaced Sheldon Richardson or Muhammad Wilkerson when they let those guys go. Henry Anderson is somebody who's here and looks like a decent player. Nathan Shepard's the rookie draft in the 5th round, but those guys aren't studs or all pros. You know, they're big unknowns. You know, Anderson has a ton of injury questions, and Shepard's a rookie, so you really don't know what you're getting in those guys. And then if you talk about some injuries on the offensive line, well, they think they are going to be better with Spencer Long at center. If they lose Kelvin Beachum or Brandon Shell or Winters or Carpenter go down, suddenly that offensive line doesn't have too much behind them. So the Jets are better in a lot of areas, but there are still some big question marks and concerns, which is why this team is still probably a year or two away from being a legitimate playoff contender.
From The Athletic, NYC, Connor Hughes with us here after hours on CBS Sports Radio. Before I let you go, I have to ask, it was my first ever U.S. Open. I'd never been. I was out there all day Saturday. Absolutely loved it. And I was actually really happy that I was there on the day when the course was taking hostages, because I felt like I got the full U.S. Open experience. But what stands out to you about this particular tournament?
It was crazy, right? I actually had a chance to get out there Sunday for Father's Day. I went up with my dad. So that it was a fun trip. It was a fun day. But it was just madness, right? I think that was the thing that just was just fine with it. And look, I don't care about the course being hard. I think that's the one thing that doesn't bother me, because this isn't an unfair advantage to anyone. You know, everyone's playing the same exact course. So it doesn't matter if you finish 8 over par or 8 under par, as long as you're better than the guy that's, you know, hitting or you're playing with and everyone else in the tournament, you're going to win. So it doesn't matter, because everyone's playing the same exact course. Now, with that said, I think it was just the headlines and the storylines that have come out of it, headlined by the Phil Mickelson putting while he was moving. It's just madness. It's crazy. It's entertaining as a reporter and as a journalist. It's super fun to watch, but I think the only way to characterize it is just crazy. That's really what it was.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.